All right, we now join Alex Pavlovich, the TV star of CSN Bay Area. Alex, how are you today?
Hey, Alex.
Hey, guys.
Well, he's more than just a TV star. I understand he's got his own podcast now. How's that going, Alex?
I think it's going well. I've gotten good reviews. It's funny, I actually hear from more people now at the ballpark when I see people who watch Comcast and I guess read our website. I hear more about the podcast than anything else, but I think people enjoy it, and thank you for plugging it.
Well, you got to get Marty on. If you want your Q ratings and your numbers and your downloads to get to skyrocket, you need Marty, Alex.
We've had him. I think he was the fourth or fifth guest.
That's correct. We did it from spring training. Yeah.
Great.
And it went off the charts. It was
good.
Huge. It was huge, as they like to say. Alex, Matt Cain yesterday, and of course the third good one in a row. Your opinion of Matt Cain and how he now fits into this picture?
He's executing his pitches. It sounds simple. It's something these guys say all the time, but I think you're just seeing him hitting his spots again. And the thing to me is that I've seen in Arizona, this really stood out, that start at Chase Field. But he was once again going back to the guy he used to be and blowing those fastballs past guys at the letters. And it's not 94, 95 anymore. It's 90. But I think he showed in that start and then again yesterday that if you can hit your spot, it doesn't matter as much as and he's going to be able to go out there with the stuff he has to succeed. And I think for him now, you look at what the top three guys are doing, there's no pressure on Cain to go out there and be an ace or even be a number two. If you have anything close to what he's done the last three starts out of your number five spot, you're going to be in really good shape.
Any chance the Giants kind of switch around the rotation order?
I think they will at some point. I do think, we'll see how it goes with Cain and Peavy, but if you're sticking with those guys, I always thought it made some sense to maybe put Samardzija in between them just to spread it out a little bit for the bullpen. We saw what happened in San Diego when those three guys went out there and really only had one inning for the bullpen. So maybe that makes a little bit of sense. And Cain certainly is pitching better than a number five right now. But that's something it's hard to do when you don't have a lot of off days, and they really haven't so far.
Kelby Tomlinson was in left field yesterday. I don't know what the status is today yet of Pagan and Pence, whether they'll be in the lineup or not. But you kind of had a funny conversation with Tomlinson when you guys asked him, had he ever played left field before?
Yeah, he played in the instructional league last year for about 2 weeks. He played center field, which obviously is just more difficult. And he has actually in an Arizona Fall League game a couple years ago. I think there were some injuries and he was put out there in the outfield. But you have to go back to about middle school the last time this guy was was an outfielder, that's not a real game, but I mean, the last time he viewed himself as an outfielder, I guess. So it's been a long time, but I do think he has the skills to be out there. And the one thing to me is it would be a little bit different if they're asking him to go out there and play center field and maybe find a way to get him in the lineup that way. But we've seen left field at AT&T Park over the years. I mean, we've seen some of the guys they've thrown out there. You can put Kelby out there and he'll be just fine.
Buster Posey cranked one into left field last night, and that is his first homer since May 1st, I believe. And so when the Fox camera showed him come back into the dugout, there was a look, a sense of relief. And Buster Posey's not really known for emoting. Did you get any sense from him after the game that one just took a little bit of pressure off his shoulders?
I actually didn't. We asked him about that, and I haven't gotten any sense. I know you can look at the numbers and you see a guy in whatever it was, that a 1 for 24 or something like that, and think it's gotten pretty bad and it must be in his head. But Buster is so even keel all the time. I didn't get any sense over the last 2-3 weeks that this was really something that he felt was a serious issue. I think he thought for the most part he had a good approach and was having good at-bats and was just kind of missing a little bit. It was just a little bit off. So I don't think he was that concerned. I don't know that yesterday was a moment where he's going to look at it and say he turned a corner, just because I think he viewed himself the last couple weeks as being mostly the same old guy, even if the results weren't there.
Alex Pavlovich with us, CSN Bay Area. Of course, he does a great podcast. Check that out as well. Of course, his blog is terrific, and we follow him on Twitter. Alex, I always say we've passed the quarter pole, so to speak. 45 games now, 117 to go. You get the identity of a team. We watch these games the first couple of months. It's a lot of fun. And then you said, okay, now we sort of know who they are. Is there an aspect of this team that you could say, this is who they are over the 162, and you can count on it?
I think the top three, I think you're looking at those top three starters, and unless something unusual happens, that you're looking at three guys who are all going to get past 200 innings, they're all going to get past 200 strikeouts, and really that's pretty incredible to have. And I think we've kind of you know, Cueto is Cueto. Cueto's the guy he's always been, and if Samardzija has taken a step up, as the Giants hoped he would, there were a lot of reasons why they thought he could come in here and start working with Rugetti and working with Gardner and working with Buster Posey and use that defense behind him and find a lot of success. So I think for me, that's kind of the part of this roster right now that I would feel best about going forward, and I think that's really the main thing we've learned over the first, you know, 40-45 games here is that those top three are as good as any top three in the National League.
How about the two lefties out of the bullpen? You look at Osich against lefties, 2-for-31, I think, and Lopez, crazily, against righties, 0-for-9. I like the two lefties. I said to myself, I think the two lefties are locked in. I think you could go the distance with them.
Yeah, it's amazing to me. Of all the complaints that I've seen, and there have been many over the years, we've talked about this many times about some of the people who really will kind of want to sell somebody and get rid of them after a rough week or so. I couldn't believe there are people out there who early on when Lopez struggled a little bit were saying it was over. You look at him, he's back to being the same guy he's always been, and he has done a better job the last couple of years against right-handers. That is a role he wants. He wants to be out there against everybody. And then you mentioned Josh Osich, and he really is coming into his own. I think you look at some ups and downs for that bullpen at times, but Josh, for the most part, has been out there and been pretty dominant. And I do think he's put himself in a position there in the eighth inning that he's going to be there the whole year. And I think if they ever needed a guy to go out there and maybe get some big outs in the ninth inning, if something happened there, I think Josh would be that guy right now.
Yeah, he can get you can't overuse him. I think that's one of the problems for Bochy is they love to go to him. Alex, Denard Span, every day I enjoy this guy more and more and more. Had the big hit off of Arrieta that Hayward made the great catch. Then you look at Matt Duffy. I don't know where he'll be in the lineup today because I don't know if Tomlinson will still be in there, if Duffy will hit third. Comment on those two. Give me something on Denard Span and Duffy right now.
Yeah, Span is, you know, he's really kind of got back to the guy he used to be the last couple of weeks. And I thought yesterday it was something we didn't talk about a whole lot after the game, but the at-bat he had right off the bat against John Lester and took some really close pitches. I think he had a pretty good idea right away what that strike zone was going to be, and that shows somebody who was prepared and somebody who knows the guy behind the plate. And he really worked Lester pretty hard there early on, and he's made a habit of that. And that's what you want out of your leadoff hitter. So, that has been exactly what the Giants wanted. Duffy has kind of been going through it a little bit here the last couple of weeks. But, you know, the thing that sticks out to me is that we've seen a lot of young guys come up here and struggle at times. And the league's going to adjust, too, and you have to adjust back. And I think Matt knows that. But you were talking to Ron Lotus kind of about the infield defense. And that sticks out to me is the fact that Duffy hasn't tailed off there and hasn't let, you know, whatever happens at the plate, he hasn't taken that off the field. So I think that's a good sign for a young player. And he's too talented a hitter to really be down at 240 or 250 or whatever is that for too much longer.
All right, we'll let you weigh in on Jake Peavy. Henry was on yesterday. Bruce Jenkins was on. I think we asked everybody at the Public House what they thought about Jake Peavy yesterday. But we haven't asked you yet. What is the status of Peavy? How do you see him over the next couple of weeks?
I do think it's good that you said a couple of weeks and not the next start, because I know people want to go start by start or say how long the leash is. It's not that situation. It was maybe getting there before he had a couple of, you know, he turned it around a little bit against the Blue Jays and then pitched well on the last road trip. So maybe before that he was kind of in a tight spot. But he did pitch well in Arizona, and he did show some signs of life. So I think we're still looking at 2 or 3 weeks here where they're going to go out there and try to find something. Because, look, him and Matt Cain were in the same situation 3 starts ago, and Cain all of a sudden looks like, you know, somebody he won out there 33, 34 times. So they're not going to give up on the other guy. Make that move right now. They're going to hope that he can do the same thing, because if he finds anything close to what he's been for them since he came over here from Boston, all of a sudden, you know, you have 5 guys out there, and you can let those guys in AAA work a little bit. You can let Heston and Blackburn continue to figure it out. So I think that's the way this goes.
Alex, I know your job is to really monitor what the Giants do, but I'm just curious if you're looking at what's going on down with the boys in blue, and if you're getting a sense that the team is looking down there and watching that team kind of implode.
I never get that sense of the Giants. I think, you know, guys are paying attention. There are guys who pay attention to what's going on in the league, but, you know, these guys are too savvy to really look down at anybody. They understand what can happen. We saw with the Dodgers a couple of years ago. They ran off that 50-game streak. So you know what can happen. But for me personally, yeah, I watched them last night when I got home. I watched them a little bit the night before. I follow all their beat writers. I read everything those guys write, because I think if you cover the Giants, it is important that you know what's going on with the Dodgers. And, yeah, it's a pretty bad spot down there right now. I think they have a lot of issues and a lot of things they need to sort out. And the one thing, you know, some guys down there, I know Eric Steven, who covers up the Bulls, written that they're rebuilding. They're doing it on the fly. And they're a $230 million team for, you know, the most expensive team in baseball that's out there. And they're rebuilding. They're trying to pave the way for young guys to come up. But I think that's led to kind of an awkward situation here, where you have guys like Kershaw and guys like Jansen and Adrian Gonzalez, and those guys are ready to win now. And I think a lot of the guys there aren't.
Well, I've said it before. I don't think it's their year. Mm-hmm. And I'll say it again. They're 4.5 back now. They had a walk-off walk last night against them. The relievers walked 3 in a row, right, for the Padres. They gave up a Melvin Upton 2-run homer in the bottom of the ninth off of Jansen the day before. Mm-hmm. And if they're not careful, I'm going to say by about another 2 weeks, they'll be about 9 back.
Woo.
And if Kershaw doesn't win, they're 13-22. So we'll see where it goes. Alex, appreciate the time as always, and we'll see you out here at the park.
Thanks, Alex.
All right, Marty. See you guys.
All right, that is Alex Pavlovich. CSN Bay Area writes a great column. Follow him on Twitter, and the podcast is terrific as well. And I was on with him. We did it.
I got to go back and check that puppy out.
It was actually pretty good.